On this episode of Cox Talking Gamecocks, women's basketball hits their stride, Shane Beamer secures a huge commitment, and men's basketball continues to struggle. All right, here we go. Welcome to episode 125 of Cox Talking Gamecocks. I am your host, Tim Cox, where I will keep every episode from 1801 to 2001. I hope y'all had a lovely weekend out there. Gamecock Nation was yet another jam-packed sports weekend out there. Obviously, NFL playoffs just dominating the weekend, which is just... it's a blast. I mean, anytime there's football, it is great. Obviously, I am a huge college fan. I love and bleed college football, but NFL is just still so great, so entertaining. But of course, on the South Carolina side, you had a lot of action going on. Basketball, of course, on both days, as well as some other sports and news in action, which is where this episode will kick off in a weekend in review before I jump into scores and highlights from the basketball programs. Starting with on Saturday, had some swimming and diving in action where, you know, the team actually swept Davidson and diving. They went 4 for 4. That's awesome. Huge accomplishment. Congrats to the diving team. Screw Davidson. We beat them in diving. And then women's tennis on Saturday was in action. Unfortunately, did take the L to NC State 6-1. That's all right, girls. Screw the Wolfpack. And then on Sunday, the men's tennis team beat UNC for the first time in a couple of years. It was absolutely electric. If you saw the video on Twitter, the whole team just rushed the last court that secured the victory. Very cool to see. Congrats to the men's tennis team who, if you'll remember correctly, had a very strong end to the year last year when they were in season. So very cool to see them starting this season off strong. And then also from Sunday, the big, big news actually came from the football team where Shane Beamer and company picked up a commitment for the 2024 class in offensive tackle Cam Pringle from Woodland High School right from the state of South Carolina. This is a massive, massive pickup, literally massive. Cam is 6'7", 295 pounds in high school. That's right. He is a literal mountain of a human being. And check this. He is the number one offensive tackle in his recruiting class. He has chosen to stay home and play for USC. This is a massive, massive win. First off, I need to go buy out all of the Pringles. I'm going to the store tomorrow morning and buying every single can of Pringle I can see, thanks to Cam Pringle. But, I mean, in all seriousness, this is a huge win. It's building this team from the inside out. And you've seen this from Shane Beamer and staff in their recruiting efforts, really last class and now starting here with Cam, where both the offensive and defensive lines are a huge, huge priority. That's how you win in the SEC. You have to control the line of scrimmage. You hear Shane Beamer talk about it all the time. Want to be able to run the ball and also stop the run. Well, how do you do that? You have to build in the trenches. Also, keeping the elite talent at USC that's from the state. That was something that Shane Beamer has done incredibly well, starting really two cycles ago, but also this past cycle in 2023, and now starting with the number one player in Cam Pringle. But it's honestly just unreal. The number one offensive tackle in his class, that's nationwide. I think I saw somewhere that Cam is the now highest ranked recruit that Shane Beamer has picked up. And Shane just did that last cycle. So he keeps topping himself. And just to think of what this offensive line could look like once he gets on campus, which, you know, it's funny. He's a 2024 commit. So it's going to be a year and then some until we see him on the field. But you're going to have a guy like Cam Pringle next to Tre Babbalade, Marquis Anderson, a couple of guys from this past recruiting class, Trayvon Bow as well as a few other guys. So Shane Beamer saw that there was an area of vulnerability on his team. He addressed it in the recruiting ranks. He addressed it a little bit in the transfer portal this past cycle. And then also he elevated Lonnie Teasley to be your offensive line coach after Greg Adkins had to step back. So you're seeing this concerted effort to really address an area of need. And it's an area where if you want to be competitive in the SEC and competitive at a very high level in college football, you have to be good at. And that's your offensive line. So kudos to Shane Beamer and company. Kudos to this entire offensive staff. Kudos to the Pringle family. I love Pringles. It's awesome. Huge get, huge piece of news. You know, I don't always talk about recruiting on this show, but I do when it makes headlines, and that right there is a headline grabber. Very excited. Very exciting times for Carolina football. Which brings me to the other side of the spectrum for Carolina sports, games that are actively being played and worked. So let's start things off here with the men's basketball program. Saturday afternoon, the Gamecocks unfortunately lost to Auburn 81-66. Now, overall, if you ask me, the team showed fight, right? I mean, despite facing a really good Auburn team and facing some foul trouble early, having some shots and calls not go their way, some guys just having an off day, they showed fight. You know, this was a battle, and they showed that grit that you want to see. I mean, I talked about getting started strong before the game. I mentioned that would be critical in this game. And I thought that despite being behind a lot of that first half, I felt the Gamecocks started out okay in that aspect. Coming out, hanging around in that first half, staying in striking distance for much of that area, but just close to the end of the half, Auburn went on a big run, and once again, Carolina found itself in a familiar spot. They were down 17 going into the half, and it's just too tough to come back when you're down that much against a good team. I mean, in the second half, the Gamecocks fought hard. They went on a real nice run at one point to bring it to 10, actually outscoring Auburn in that second half. But ultimately, that run gave way to another big Auburn run, and Carolina falls short once again in rather convincing fashion when it's all said and done. But I found it nice. I mean, Gigi, he had a nice quote after the game. I'm paraphrasing here, of course, but saying how the team right now, as well as himself, they're being tested and they're going through a very big test. And I think that's a great way of looking at it, right? It's a tough time right now in that locker room and in this program and in this fan base, but it's not going to last forever. So this team has to keep their head down. They have to keep working. And they have to believe that the good things will come and eventually the ship will get righted. Again, I don't know if it's this year. I don't know if it's this week. I don't know if it's this month. But right now this team is being tested. You were home for a few games in a row coming off of a big win at Kentucky, and unfortunately you dropped all of them. And I think there's a really not flattering stat out there that the Gamecocks have not led once in an SEC game while at home, and that is just incredibly hard to believe, but unfortunately it does appear to be the case. So you got to keep fighting. You got to keep your head down. You got to keep working. Good things will come eventually. Some player highlights from this game here. G.G. Jackson had himself a hell of a game with 30 points and 8 rebounds. Michi Johnson with 11 points, but a lot of that came from the free throw line, actually. Michi was off for most of the day. And again, it's just one of those deals where things were not lining up perfectly for South Carolina. Chico Carter had 8 points, which is nice. Hayden Brown was not in double figures. He was in foul trouble early. Michi was cold from the floor. These are the things that you needed to get going to beat a team like Auburn. I mean, Gigi did his job, but unfortunately it was just not quite enough from the rest of the team here. The next game for the men is Wednesday night at Florida, so in Gainesville. Florida so far this year is 11-8 overall, 4-3 in conference. The Gators' leading scorer is senior Colin Castleton. Now, you'll probably recognize this guy. I mean, it feels like he's been there for like 1,000 years. Just so tall, kind of lanky, so he's really hard to miss. Like, this tall drink of water really stands out in a crowd. And he's just kind of annoying to go against, right? Just one of those college players that is just enough taller than everybody else to be really hard to defend. But I don't know. Florida with him is averaging 72 points per game. That is compared to Carolina's 63. Now, funny enough, the only time really that South Carolina has been really competitive in SEC games this season is when they've been on the road. That first one in Vandy came down to the wire. Obviously, good things happened at Kentucky, so maybe getting away from Columbia is what this team needs? I don't know. I'm kind of throwing up my hands thinking maybe that's what this team needs. They need a little breather away. They just get to the hotel, shake it off. I have no idea. That's kind of what we're hoping for at this point with this game here. But my quote of the game here is it's just play big. You know, in the Kentucky game, the Gamecocks were able to create some chaos in the post. They were able to throw Shewe off his game, at least in that first half. And that's what they're going to have to do again in this game. Florida will play through Castleton. So it's going to fall on guys like Josh Gray, G.G. Jackson, and even Bozeman Verdonk to step up and play big. So a guy like Josh Gray, I'm not asking you to be a world beater, Josh. I'm not asking you to get 8 points, God forbid. I'm asking you to get a couple of points, get a few rebounds, don't get in foul trouble too early because you know that's bound to happen, but just be big, be physical. You're a big body. You have SEC experience under your belt. Just make Castleton's life difficult. Make him feel your presence. And if you can throw him off a little bit, maybe Carolina can find themselves in striking distance. Castleton is their leading rebounder, to no surprise. He's their leading scorer. They run through him. So make his life difficult. Now moving over to the women's side of things here. Quick catch up for y'all here. Thursday, since I wasn't able to report on it last episode, Thursday the women beat Vanderbilt 96-48, just a butt whooping. And then on Sunday, their most recent game, the women beat Arkansas 92-46. So how about that? 2 90 pieces back-to-back, 2 holding them to under 50 back-to-back. And it's really starting to feel like this team is hitting their stride, isn't it? I talked a few games ago, like not too long ago, about Dawn trying to figure this thing out, maybe the team itself trying to figure out each other's roles, responsibilities, just, you know, getting to know each other without some of those pieces that have been there for so long, like a Destiny Henderson, right? And you saw some closer SEC games to start their schedule. Now you're really seeing some of these games that are just more what we're used to seeing. Better flowing, high scoring, smothering defense. I mean, Arkansas has a winning record in the SEC. They are in the top half of the league, I think more like even top third. So this is a nice win, right? Vanderbilt is struggling this year. So that's a game you expect to handle. Arkansas, you handle your business. It was at home in front of a great crowd at Colonial Life and really just feels like this team is starting to hit their stride. Carolina was in the lead after every quarter and again had that smothering defensive effort in the second quarter, only allowing 7 points. And that's something that we've seen this team do really when they are locked in. You saw it a lot last year, and it's against these teams that can be good. And there's just one quarter where it is just absolutely lockdown defense. Carolina is able to build the lead and hold the lead from there. So it's very impressive to see. And we'll continue to watch it, right? It's going to be very cool to see how players like Letitia Amy here mix into that rotation, Camila Cardozo and whatnot. But some player highlights from this game, starting off with Aaliyah Boston, 13 points, 14 rebounds, which marks her 73rd double-double and a Gamecocks new program record. Congratulations, Aaliyah. We are truly, truly blessed to have Aaliyah Boston in our women's basketball program. She has been a staple. She is a national champion. She is a player of the year. She is everything you want for in a team player. It's incredible to see. A program record. She has just a plethora of accolades, and this is just another one in a very, very impressive resume. I put it out there on Twitter that she needs to be immortalized in some way. A lot of people are saying that she is the next statue to go on our campus, which very well can and probably should happen right next to Asia Wilson. But if you wanted to do something maybe a little unique, I think a mural on the side of Colonial Life in some sort of action pose or whipping her hair back with the different colors would be so cool and such a unique way to immortalize the greatness that has been Aaliyah Boston. And you know that she's chasing back-to-back natties, and it's something that if she does will further cement herself into the history books as one of the greatest Gamecocks there ever has been. So congratulations, Aaliyah. That is incredibly, incredibly impressive. Well-earned. So excited for you and this team. Also in this game, you had Zaya Cook with 24 points. She is just locked in. I mean, she's knocked down. Locked in this whole season. Camila Cardozo with 12 points and 16 rebounds off the bench. She is a key contributor. You know, you look at Boston, Saxton, and Cardozo. If two of them three can get going, look out, whoever we're playing, really. And then the next game for the women here is Sunday. It's next Sunday at Alabama. I will preview that game next episode as that is much closer to their game. No point in doing that now and then having to wait a whole week for y'all. So we'll do that a little bit closer to their game here. But that wraps up this episode, y'all. Please follow me on social media. Twitter is Cox Gamecocks. Instagram is just the name of the show, Cox Talking Gamecocks. And please like, subscribe, and review the podcast. I appreciate all y'all. Go Cox.